Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 556, Blitz, recorded live on October 20th, 2016. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we are here to talk about some exciting Halo Wars 2 news. It's been a while since we've talked on the actual news front and some nice developments. And we're actually back from a hiatus because last week I had to work 12 hours on Thursday, which kind of sucked.
Yeah, those 12-hour days are really bad things.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan. Not a huge fan of kind of how late it's been for a while. There's a lot of things just going on with how much time I'm having to put into things and whatnot. So it's a little crazy.
Yeah, I went through a stint of that for about a week. Got to work at 8 o'clock in the morning and went home at midnight.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's longer than me.
Yeah. Made for a really nice paycheck, but man, when it came to that weekend, I was dead. I think that Saturday I slept for 14 hours.
Uh-huh.
On top of what I normally sleep. I think I woke up Sunday. I'm not sure.
That's impressive.
Needless to say, that Saturday, I didn't move around a whole lot.
Yeah, probably for the better. I'm planning to not move much on Saturday this week because it's going to be movie marathon night.
Movie marathon?
Woo! Mm-hmm. Doing all the Oceans movies.
Well, I thought she was going to watch something good.
Oh.
Like, you know, Lord of the Rings or...
Aww.
Star Wars or maybe the Titanic.
Ouch. Well, the Titanic's just one movie. We're doing a marathon of sorts.
Well, you know, the Titanic is kind of a marathon watch.
Fair enough. All right. We have a little bit of news to discuss from Halo Wars 2 stuff and a couple other things that cropped up over the past week or so. A couple of weeks while we've been away. I am still working on our Machinima show that we had 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago, because it's a doozy. It's a massive one. I think it's probably the hardest edit I've had.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I just don't, like, yeah. If anyone that was there, if anyone was there during the live stream, you would have heard all of the crazy stuff that happened. A lot of it's actually being edited out for the sake of brevity and to stay on topic of the Machinima topic. But for those of you who were privileged enough to be in the live stream a few weeks ago, there was some colorful language. There were some massive derailments, some of which we are not quite as privy to. We don't quite go to that extent on some of the different derails that we had. But nonetheless, I think it was actually pretty cool to hear from some of the other machinimators. Well, not other, because we don't machinimate, but some of the machinimators from the Halo community. And looking at the core of the content and the discussions that we had, I thought it was actually a pretty good show. Why don't you take out all the additional stuff that caused for probably about 20 to 30 minutes of extra time that's been taken out of the show?
Yeah, there were some extraneous stuff in there that probably
doesn't need to be there. Lots of extraneous stuff. But once that's out, you'll hear it. If you're listening to this after the fact, then you've already heard it. If not, yeah, it was interesting. But we have some stuff to talk about. We have the latest community update, which we're actually going to change up our podcasting schedule a little bit and start recording on Tuesdays now. So we'll be talking about these updates a little more closer to when they're actually released. And also, so we're not fighting with HCS streams, because they decided, hey, let's start streaming Wednesdays and Thursdays as well. And it's like, you know, we kind of do our podcast then.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to compete with Halo on Twitch.
Just a bit.
I popped over there before we started, and there was almost 8,000 people watching the Halo broadcast. I'm like, kind of hard to compete with that.
Yep, not happening. So we're going to move our show, but we'll get into a little more of that detail later. Hopefully we'll be able to help us keep up to date with the con- the community update and some other content that comes out. To go through the latest one, Into the Storm is what it's titled. And a couple of weeks ago, we actually got our first glimpse at some of the soundtrack music coming for Halo Wars 2. So over on SoundCloud, 343 Industries posted up two different songs from the soundtrack, some of which you'll hear at the beginning and end of this episode. So we have new music. Yay!
Yay!
It's always cool when there's new Halo music, because it's like, oh yay, time to update the intro and outro music for the show. So I really like that. It'll be cool to have that new feel to the podcast, so that'll be nice to have. If you haven't checked them out already, there is a Xbox Wire article on October 5th. And then you can go over to 343's Industry SoundCloud as well, and you can pick up the two different tracks there. The first one is Run Little Demons, and then the second one is Isabelle's Awakening. So kind of early on in the Halo Wars 2 story, some of which we already saw if you were at San Diego, the little intro that we got to see. I think they talked a little bit about how Isabella, how they run across her and how she wakes up, and then the Run Little Demons was also part of the little Vidoc thing as well. So we have those two tracks to go check out if you haven't listened to them already. I kind of like the sound and feel of Run Little Demons. It's kind of like, it feels very brutish, or it feels very appropriate for the brutes. And just being able to kind of level set that through the music, again, this has been one of Halo's strong points in the past, but it's good to know that they're, at least from these two, it looks like they're heading on the right track.
Yeah, I haven't had an opportunity to actually listen to them yet, so I've been kind of caught up in Fractures.
That's a good reason. No pins, I haven't read the journal. Before you even ask, I have not read the journal yet.
He was mid-typing there.
I'm sure he was. I'm sure he was. So yeah, I have that sitting around in my room somewhere. My mom was actually here over the weekend, so there was lots of cleaning happening. Oh, I see it. I found it. It's on my bookshelf.
Well, that's a good place for it.
Yeah.
That's kind of why they call them bookshelves.
Yes. Although only one shelf has books on it. The others have consoles, controllers, and game cases. I need to put it. I'm going to take a picture once it's done, but it just needs to get done first.
Yeah, I'd like to get some shelves and put my stuff up as well.
Yeah, they're nice. They're a cool way to showcase things. But yeah, I still have Broken Circle to finish. Hopefully, once I start the third time, I'll finish it. Hunters in the Dark, Halo Fractures, Halsey's Journal, and then Tales from Slipspace comes out pretty soon, I believe.
Next month, I think.
Yes, I believe so. Yeah. So I got a lot of reading to do. Lots of reading to do. And Fractures was a little bit thicker than I was anticipating.
Yeah.
It's like Evolutions, Volume 2.
There's a lot of stuff in there that, without going into any detail, answers a lot of questions. But then it raises about 36 more.
Laird says Tales from Slipspace comes out this next Tuesday.
Oh.
Well.
I thought it was beginning of next month. I'll be
more behind.
Cool. I'll have to buy that, and so I can have something else to listen to.
Yay. That just puts me in the backlog. A never-growing, never-ending backlog. So, yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, we'll probably do another book podcast soon.
Soon as Dust gets done reading them.
Hey, I've got a lot of holidays coming up. Got two of them in November.
You'll just have to warn me which one we're gonna do so I can brush up on it.
Do a refresh.
Yes, I know, Laird. I misspoke. I know it's not an audiobook.
Well, okay. So we have Tales from Slipspace coming out next week. Then we also have the Halo Crate coming out next week too. The new one, the second one.
Oh, and I got a new camera, so I'm going to be able to do an unboxing.
Nice. I still need to do the unboxing from the first one. The box is still not open yet.
Same here.
It's sitting next to my desk, the first one, on the floor. And we have a box to give away, too, which, hopefully that'll happen soon.
We will find a way.
Yes. So we have the latest figure that was announced, and if you're listening to this by now, sorry, the second month is already gone as far as orders are concerned. So you can order the third month one now. If you go ahead and order now, you'll get your third month. But the figure that was shown off for like the little collectible ones exclusively to the loot crate is Buck, ODST Buck,
with his little drop pod.
Little drop pad and dual silenced SMGs.
And a big head.
Yes. But for everyone who was subscribed to the crate, was it before the 9th or something? They sent out a survey asking for pant size. So I guess we're going to get some Halo pants in this box.
Oh, cool.
But we should have some stuff out pretty soon. Crates were starting to show up. Like, I want to say the 20th, 21st of August for the first one. So right now it's the 20th. So we might start seeing crates pop up here pretty soon, actually. But again, if you didn't order by October 15th, then you won't be able to get the second crate. But you can go ahead and order if for some reason you missed out on the first crate. And then you see the second crate and you're like, oh my gosh, why have I still not gotten this thing? You can head on over to lootcrate.com/podtacular. And then at checkout, use the code podtacular and you get $3 off your crate, which is basically close to 10% off of your first crate. Or if you just want to do the one crate, you can just get the one crate and then be done with it. Next thing, which I'm a little sad about because it's only iOS, but they have a sticker pack that you can use for texting. So similar to how, I guess for people of the Fallout series, they had like the Fallout pack, or you have other little sticker packs that you can download and integrate into certain messaging apps. iOS has, I guess, a little bit better ability to do that kind of sticker integration. So unfortunately, Android gets no love.
Well, neither does Windows Phone. So of course they don't get any love anyway.
Hey, low install base. Can't blame them too much. But we have that available in the App Store. So if you like to Halo stickerify your text messages, then you can download that from the App Store and have fun with those.
I just find it hilarious that Windows Phone is a Microsoft property and they don't even support it with their own stuff.
What can I say?
Way to go, Microsoft! Oh, sorry.
No qualms from me. So HCS is still going on. I believe they're at their fifth or sixth week for this season, and they did HCS Orange County last weekend, and Optic Gaming is still holding their own against Team Envious. Those seem to be the two top teams right now for the HCS, but that's been going on over at Halo's Twitch and YouTube, and I think there's some other streaming service that they're using as well. I can't remember at the moment. I can't remember if they're using Beam or not, but they have been doing that on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, I believe, for their streams for the HCS. So again, one of the reasons why we're changing our recording time because of the HCS and stuff. But if you're interested, then make sure you're checking out the Halo streams every weekend. Well, weekday / weekend. It's kind of the end of the week. But yeah, so that's happening. Still looking for a volunteer to help out with HCS coverage. So if you're interested, then we would definitely like you guys to help out. So if you could head on over to our application page, which is podtacular.com/apply, we would actually like to start doing a HCS section on the podcast routinely, especially with new stuff happening every week. We just don't have the people to dedicate the time to watch that kind of stuff. I mean, my schedule is busy. Godzilla has other things going on as well. So our schedules just don't kind of warrant us to watch that kind of stuff and report on it. So if anyone is interested and would like to help us out making a little section for the podcast every week, every other week, and kind of doing like a recap, then we would really appreciate your help. So again, head on over to podtacular.com/apply, and we would love to see you guys help out. Godzilla, do you watch Red versus Blue?
Occasionally.
Occasionally.
Like whenever they get something new.
So they have a, with the latest season, and we actually have, we had Miles on the show, and we actually put our interview of him in with our Machinima show. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to that, definitely recommend you check that out. But we actually have one of the episodes, one of the later episodes of this season's Red versus Blue be an immersion episode of actually flipping a Warhawk. So that came out a couple weeks ago, and Waypoint featured it. And they took the Warthog that Pete Cooper made actually for what was going to be Operation Chastity. And they kind of drove around with it. They made a little scene with the 405th in their armor and everything. And then we had Miles in Spartan armor dressed up as Simmons try to flip an overturned Warthog. And of course, mere mortal human strength can't really flip over a car. So they kind of hooked up this system with I think some pneumatic gear or hydraulics or something to kind of simulate the flipping of the Warthog. And it was kind of interesting because they cabled it up in such a way where the way that the hog flipped actually flipped like it does in the game. And they did a side-by-side comparison of flipping a Warthog in the game versus flipping a Warthog in real life with those cables attached. So it was actually pretty cool. And it was the episode done in style of Immersion, which is another series that Rooster Teeth has done, where they kind of take the idea of what would certain things in video games look like in real life. So that was really cool to watch.
Definitely was an interesting episode. It kind of reminds me of the Game Theorist and what he's doing now.
Yeah, Game Labs. Gamer Labs.
Where he's actually performing things that happen in video games to see if a human can even do it. And some of the stuff, it's amazing that it's actually available or able to do.
Yeah, video games based off of real life in some ways. No.
Really? Yeah, last one, I watched one. They had a sample one because the series is actually behind the paywall on YouTube. So, but they had some pieces of it up on his channel. And they were doing, what is that game? I can't think what it is.
Mirror's Edge?
Yeah, Mirror's Edge. That's it. Thanks. But
you're welcome. They were
showing these, trying to teach these guys how to do parkour, which is interesting. They didn't show a whole lot of it, but yeah. I'm like, okay.
Well, and it's just amazing how you can, there's people that are actually in well enough shape to do some of the parkour stuff from like Mirror's Edge and then other video games. Mm-hmm. And then you just take gamers who you master down the mechanics of a game so much and you try to do it in real life. And it's like, wait a second, this is a lot harder than it actually would seem. Because you see the action, but actually being able to execute that and then having the proper body strength to do it all and muscle control is yet another factor in the way of being able to accomplish some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But Immersion has always been fun to watch. So the season's actually wrapping up here either this week or next week. The finale is actually out already for Rooster Teeth First members, or the Rooster Teeth, it's the new name for the Rooster Teeth subscribers. So if you haven't had a chance to watch all of the season so far, you can head on over to roosterteeth.com or you can head on over to their YouTube, but their last episode is only available on their website, and they usually post those episodes out a week before public release. So those will be fun to finish up on. I watched through episode 19 so far, so I have a few more episodes to catch up on, but this season's been really great, and I really like the way they just kind of took it away from the story aspect of Red versus Blue and kind of like doing some backfill stuff and looking at some other parts of the kind of Red versus Blue universe. So that's been kind of fun to watch and explore. And then getting to see like the 405th in there was really cool.
Yeah, it's nice that they incorporated some of the Halo community into that as well.
And then being able to see the different styles that Rooster Teeth is known for, like the animation and doing the mix, kind of going back to Halo 1, doing some stuff in there. going back and really exploring some of the other facets of kind of where the story is. And they really pulled a lot of different things from around the entirety of kind of Red versus Blue. So they even went back as far back, like I said, Halo 1, like even before Project Freelancer or before Red versus Blue was even a thing, they figured out, like, you go back and see where Sarge got his command, and then Simmons and Griff as kind of these cowards in boot camp type of thing, and Donut going back to saying it's lightish red and being all serious.
It's kind of neat to see where the characters supposedly came from.
Yeah. And then there's also a little backstory with Church again, and then you see Felix and Locust, kind of how they got their start being mercenaries, and just a whole bunch of different cool stories from within what was already established within the last 13 years of Red versus Blue.
Mm-hmm.
So again, really cool idea and way for them to explore the different areas and kind of not necessarily have to hold to a specific storyline, but being able to tell a bunch of different stories like we have with Fractures and Evolutions for the Halo books. So it's just really cool. Going back to the community update from last week and the blah in the, yeah, in the blog, I guess this might still be Bravo talking, but they've been having fun with Forza Horizon 3 with the Warthog that they have in there. And there's a few screenshots that they have with some different paint jobs on it. So people that have been, I guess, really having a good time with that. I'm not a Forza fan at all, so I don't have it, but it looks pretty fun.
I went ahead and downloaded my Warthog.
I did too.
I claim the code, so if maybe sometime in the future it's on sale or something, I might pick it up.
Or Games with Gold.
Yeah.
Something like that. But yeah, it's pretty cool. Halo's been in a couple of different racing games, one of which being Forza before. They had the Halo 4 Warthog. What was it, Forza 3? Sometime back then?
4, I think it was.
4? Okay, someone in the chat can correct me. And then they also had the Warthog in Rocket League.
Viewable in their garage. I mean, it was a really detailed view of the Warthog, but you couldn't actually take it out and drive it.
True. It was just it was a showcase item.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that's all well and good. It's kind of nice to see Halo show up in other franchises.
And we've seen it show up in quite a few franchises. We have it in Rocket League. We have it in Killer Instinct, Forza, and Minecraft with the skin pack and the world pack. And that's all I can think of off the top of my head. I want to say there's another game, but I can't think of any at the moment.
And then we have Halo Wars 2 teases in other games.
We do?
Yeah. Was it two years ago? They had a Halo Wars 2 billboard in... What game was that? It was in a game trailer, and I can't think what it was. It was in a game trailer for something else.
Sunset Overdrive?
I can't remember what game it was. But they actually had a Halo Wars 2 billboard in one of the other game trailers. It was the big hint that Halo Wars 2 was coming that stirred everybody up for about 6 months, and then they forgot about it.
Huh, I missed that. That's interesting. I have to go see if I can find that. Because that I completely missed that.
I'm trying to remember if it was a E3 or if it was a PAX.
Well, if it was an E3, then Sunset Overdrive sounds like it would be a perfect candidate for it. David said it was a weird game that they ended up canceling.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember. Obviously, I can't remember the game, so it must not have made a very big impression. Maybe we'll have to dig that up. Like I said, it's going to be either PAX East or E3. One of the two. I think it was E3.
I mean, the only one that kind of sticks out to me as far as billboards goes would be Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah, no, it wasn't Sunset. It wasn't that brightly colored. It was more of a dreary trailer. It just wasn't bright and loud like Sunset Overdrive is.
Yeah, I don't know. I never caught on to it. But someone in the chat can go find it for us. Anyways, we have another book coming our way. So everyone remember Halo Mythos, the nice little guide to the whole Halo universe?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we have another one. It's called Halo Warfleet, which is all about the Halo ships. All about Covenant ships, all about UNSC ships, spacefaring ships, and all that fun stuff. And Grimm specifically calls out the folks over from the Sins of the Prophets. So that's pretty cool.
It's always nice when you see some of the community get worked in there.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really cool to kind of see them just going to get shouted out. And it's like, we made this for you guys.
I'm sure it'd be very welcome, you know, to see. It's always nice to see what the developer of the universe imagines the pieces look like. You know, the ships, the aliens, you know, the army, the ammo crates, things like that. It's always nice to see what they envision and see how close your vision of that same item is. You know, when you're dealing with books, it's your imagination, and you know the books don't really have pictures in them. You know, until you get to like places like the Halopedia or Mythos, things like that. But it's always nice to see if how they describe it in the book is how you as the reader imagine it. I mean, to actually see a picture of it and say, that's exactly what I was thinking it was.
Yeah, trying to see if the way you envision this, a certain thing being or behaving is actually the way that it's defined by the creators of the universe that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they'll get some nice references to help out their Sins of the Prophets mod, which I still need to play. And you play that and you play SPV3. And then there's another Halo game that someone told me about that I need to go try. I've got a lot of stuff to catch up on.
I need to play the latest update of SPV3. I played the pre-launch beta and it was a blast. It was nice to see the new environments. They seem to fit in very well. Sins of the Prophets, I might check out. I don't know. That's kind of like really way out of my normal play area.
Oh, it is for me too, but I might as well. I'm thinking like play it just to try it for the sense of, hey, this is Halo and it's done by really cool Halo people.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
It's like trying to figure out how to like understand the game, get a sense for like how the game works at the same time of like, okay, I'm not good at this, but I can appreciate the game. We have another thing coming out too, for those who don't know, of Halo Ground Command. So this is the follow-up to Halo Fleet Battles. So instead of being spacefaring, you're actually on the ground now. So there's a little more information about some of the different pieces that you have that you'll be able to use. Weapon crates, reactors, barriers, all that kind of stuff. So a little bit more information into Ground Command. And for those of you who don't know, our friend Toa Freak got a chance to look at some early on concepts of it at some toy fair of some kind. But he's probably all over that. And he probably had a video of this up from last week, so it'll be good to go check out if you're interested. But yeah, and then over to some Forge stuff. They're adding some purple things and some other Covenant stuff, kind of going in line with the latest map that we have, which I'm forgetting at the name of the moment.
Is it Mercy?
Yeah, okay. So some of those different items inspired by that map. So if you're looking for more Forge items, they're coming. You can remake Sandtrap proper because you have a empty Phantom piece that you can use.
I like how they title this section of the article Purple Plop Props, and all the props are blue.
Yeah, I think they're supposed to be purple-ish, but yeah, they do look very blue over purple.
They're blue. That's not purple.
Fine.
I can't even squint and make those purple.
This is true. And then after that, in time for Halloween, or Haloween, as we like to call it. Yes. There are some stencils that you can use for carving pumpkins. And there's quite a few. The Didac
one looks pretty wicked.
Yeah, that one looks crazy complicated, just because of all the different thin lines. But they actually do the stencils in a pretty interesting way. So they have two different shades on there, one that you cut through the pumpkin, and then one where you just shave out certain parts of the pumpkin. Oh, Ericubu wanted me to mention that there's also a sand terrain map as well, because all this stuff is on sand. So maybe sand terrain pieces or a new sand terrain forge map area. Or maybe let's just turn Alpine into a into a sand option now too.
Possible.
So yeah, there's an energy sword, which is ranked easy difficulty. A forge with hammer, which is also ranked easy. Normal difficulty is the Spartan or Fireteam Apollo logo. Another normal one is the not Oni, Fireteam Osiris logo. And then another normal difficulty is the Banished Faction icon. And then you also have a Spartan helmet, blue team, and that follows up the normal stuff. And then heroic is the UNSC Eagle, along with the Spirit of Fire logo. And then legendary is the Didact head and the Guardian. Lots of cool stencils for you to check out if you want to do some Halo pumpkin carving. And speaking of which, I'm going to check that real quick because I don't know if they're doing it again, but they should be. Halo.bungie.org every year does a pumpkin carving contest, which is called the 343 Gilto Lantern. I don't see any announcement for it, so I wonder if they're doing it this year. But they usually do. I may have to reach out to Claude and see if they're going to be doing anything. Maybe not. Yeah, that would suck if they're not doing it anymore. Anyways, if they end up doing it, I'll make a post about it. But at the moment, it doesn't look like they're doing it, which I think this is the first year that they haven't. Oh, well. A couple other last things on the update before we wrap that up. There is a competitive Halo documentary that has been put together. It's called 4v4. I don't know what the group is called, but the creator of the series is William Slingsby. And there's a little interview up on the update from last year, and it kind of dives in a little bit to what he wanted to do, how he came to the idea of actually doing the documentary. But there's some really cool things that he's done to put this whole thing together. So he's had 22 different interviews, and then invested over 281 hours into the project. He's edited content from three different countries, Australia, New Zealand, and the U.S. Has over 837 gigs of interviews, 372 gigs of tournament footage spanning 10 years, and 2.5 terabytes of all the content pulled together.
That's a lot.
I'm just like, that takes dedication. And the competitive scene for Halo has been around almost as long as like the Machinima scene, and yeah. I guess like Machinima and competitive, because competitive really started MLG in 2002. Machinima started with Warthog Jump. I don't remember if that was 2002 or 2003, but yeah, those have been around for quite some time. The fact that he's going through 10 years of footage, which would have been 2006 from now, and that goes all the way back to Halo 2 when MLG was really starting to take shape and take attention for Halo as a esports. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not huge into the competitive scene. I follow it loosely. I'm kind of interested in to see how the documentary is actually going to turn out.
Yeah, I just have to spend some time and watch it.
Find more time in the books to actually take care of it.
Yeah.
And then there's Community Spotlight. There's a montage that they highlight, as well as a nice screenshot of a Coagulation remake, which actually looks pretty compelling. And then there's also a Play of the Week that they link to as well. So pretty lengthy community update for this week, actually. Even with the fact that there's not too much going on, we do have a little other news from the Halo Wars 2 front, which we'll cover here in just a second. But overall, pretty good content. We got the loot crate. We've got the Halloween stencils. We've got red versus blue stuff. Forza Horizons, new Forge items, new books, new games, new lots of things. Check it out if you haven't already. Lots of cool stuff. All right, so we got a little Vidoc, and there's been some footage from some YouTubers who were actually visiting the studio last week that were able to get some footage of some new stuff in Halo Wars 2 that got announced. So they announced a new mode called Blitz, which is kind of a fast-paced and a different way to do real-time strategy. So instead of the traditional way of building up your bases and resources and attacking strategically, the premise behind Blitz is that you have a certain number of you have a certain number of credits that you can use at the start, and you kind of build your army at the start of the game. And then as the game goes on, you deploy different units on the field, and that's how you combat. So you kind of pre-plan your attack and how you want to defeat the other opponent with which units that you want, taking into account that you only have a certain amount of budget. And then once everything goes, you start placing out those units, and it's kind of like last man wins. And it's supposed to be designed in such a way where it's a quick game that doesn't take too much time. And they said in the Vidoc that it's a very different way of playing the RTS that like classic RTS fans, it'll be even new for them. And the one thing I can think of is there's a few games out there. There's one popular one. I forget what it's called, but I think it's like Realistic War Simulator. It's where you have like the red and blue clay people, and you can have them deploy them with like chariots or muskets or swords or shields and that kind of stuff. Have you seen that, GT, from like random Let's Plays on YouTube?
I can't say that I have. I mean, from the Vidoc, what I'm looking at, it really seems like me. It almost kind of plays like, you know, a card game, you know, a combat card game, you know, similar to Pokemon or, you know, Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh or, you know, any of those, Digimon, just to name a few, because, you know, before the game, you basically build your deck. And I think they said you have 12 cards you can use. And during the match, you have to capture points. And as you capture points, you can bring in more powerful units, or you can bring in more less powerful units. But the idea is, for the game mode, is you'll actually spend more time picking your deck than actually, well, probably not actually playing the game. But, you know, once you pick your deck, you're set with that. So you just have to make it work one way or another. It sounds like it's going to be a really fast-paced. There will be people, and be ready for it. The rushes are coming.
Instead of Zerg Rush, it'll be Grunt Rush.
Yeah. There's a certain thing about it is you don't have to worry about managing resources or collecting resources or building bases. It takes all that strategy out of the game, and you just have to focus on units. You need to have units on the field that you can attack with, but then you also have to keep in mind that, okay, I need units here to counter if, you know, they bring in air or they go heavy vehicle, things like that. You just have to focus on what your units are doing. You don't have to worry about all the logistics of building the units. Because when you call the unit, you know, when you play the card, the units drop in immediately.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about tech trees or having to have prerequisites in order to build units or having to have bases where you can build the units out of. It's just you have the units, and as long as you have the available credits to purchase those units, then you're able to call them in. And the same thing with powers. So there's no power trees, there's no bases or anything. So it's like if you have the credits or the points in order to call out that specific unit or power, then you call it out and you have it instantly. So yeah, very fast paced.
I'll be very interested to see what the regular RTS players think of it. I mean, I think it's a good way for maybe newer people to kind of get in and play with the units a little bit and really start to understand the units without having to worry about, you know, the resource side of it, because that, you know, that can kind of hamper what you're able to do inside of a match. Because there are some units that, you know, if you're a new person to the game and you're playing somebody more experienced, you just don't have enough time in the game to get enough resources or enough energy or enough tech level to bring those units in. So I think it'd be a good way to give people experience with a wider variety of units.
And be able to kind of explore some different, explore some different units that you might not otherwise get to in a normal game or something. So Erikibu is actually telling us a few things from the side, because neither of us have actually had time to go watch footage yet. But he said that you can spawn the units via the cards if you have the cards in your hand, you have enough energy to call them. Oh, that sounds like a rec system. Not sure how I feel about that. And then there are capture points on the map. There's 3 points and you need 2 captures to score. So if that sounds like a stronghold thing.
Yeah, I thought, the way I understood it, you captured points to get the energy to call in cards. Maybe I misunderstood it. But either way, you know, there, of course, there's some type of in-game energy or something that would allow you to call in, you know, your higher end cards. You know, they'd have to moderate that somehow. Or, you know, it'd be like the, what's the Warzone that basically gives you instant 9?
Oh, shoot. Super Warzone? No. Warzone Speed, Warzone, shoot. I know what you're talking about. Because, yeah, it was the thing that they were messing around with. The accelerated Warzone.
Yeah, it would be like that. You know, I'll be interested to see some more about it and, you know, get some more information about it as far as, you know, how do you attain the cards? You know, do you attain the cards from just playing regular multiplayer? Can you get cards from completing different objectives in campaign, like, you know, weekly challenges, things like that? So I'm going to hold off on any judgments of it until I see, you know, what you have to do to get these cards.
Yeah, me too. We'll come back next week after we have a chance to watch some footage, because I think the footage just came out like today, and I know I haven't had time to watch anything. So next week we'll dive into it a lot more in detail. But yes, and so we also have from the Vidoc too, like, we got, if you guys look carefully, 6 different leaders that we now have confirmed. So I actually pulled up a little screenshot of it. But I think there's supposed to be 8 in total at launch, but we have 6 of them now. One being Captain Cutter and Atriox that we've seen previously. And then the 4 other ones that they showed off in the Vidoc were Professor Anders, no surprise. Isabel, also no surprise. And Decimus, which looks like it's probably one of the subordinates under Atriox, like one of the other leaders.
That's one of his lieutenants, yeah.
Lieutenant, that was the word I was looking for. And then a shipmaster, which is an elite.
Yeah, that's, I know his name, but I'm not going to butcher it by pronouncing it. But yeah, that's the shipmaster that basically Atriox pays him. He's a ship for hire. He supplies the ship with resources like, you know, fuel and food. And in return, they support Atriox.
Interesting. Okay.
So he's an elite for hire.
An elite merc. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm curious for you to butcher his name.
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't be able to pronounce it and be recognizable yet.
Can't blame me for trying.
I've only heard it a couple of times. I forget. I don't even remember where I was talking about it.
Got it.
I'll have to look that up now.
Not a problem.
More homework.
Oh, I've got plenty of homework. I got 5 books to read. In fact, my assignments are late, and one of them's really, really, really late.
Way late.
I think I need a new library card from Pens. I need a renewal, just so I can turn my book back in. And then there was one other little article that kind of caught my attention just a little bit before going through and getting everything pulled together for the show tonight. And that was an article from Game Rant. And the title of it was Halo Wars 2 story will have a big impact on Halo 6. We already know that the timeline of Halo Wars 2 takes place about a year after the events of Halo 5. So there's some stuff going on present time that we'll get to see from the aftermath of Halo 5 and then lead into Halo 6. But apparently there's some characters that they haven't revealed that are in the game yet that are going to play an integral role into what's going to come with Halo 6. And they're at the Ark too, so there's still quite a few things connected there. And we know Cortana has her guardians and is kind of hooked into the domain, which kind of interconnects all the Forerunner technology and precursor technology. So it's going to be interesting to see how much of a crossover there is between the first-person shooter games and now Halo Wars 2.
Oh, and by the way, in just a plug for Fractures. They explain the domain in there. So definitely read it. I'm not going to tell you anymore. Just read it.
Now I have to read it. You know what's funny? Actually, I got Halo Mythos and then this is, I should be shunned or shamed, but my girlfriend started reading it before I did. It's like, oh great, now I really feel like I'm falling behind here on my duties to actually read Halo content. None so far. She actually repeated back what she read to me, and it's like, yeah, you got it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I guess
maybe we'll just have to put her on the podcast instead of you.
I'm getting replaced already? Dang.
Well, I don't know. We'll just have to see. Maybe you're on probation.
Oh, man. Dang it. I need to get some work done. I need to do some community service. Anyway, so yeah, we have some interesting characters, looks like, coming to Halo Wars 2 that we don't know of yet that will have an influence on Halo 6. And I'm excited, personally. I mean, granted, I'm not a huge RTS player, so I'm more excited just for the story aspect and being able to kind of see what they have in store for us in this game, but
I hope they have a timeline in it again.
That was pretty cool.
The Halo Wars timeline was great. I hope they do that again.
Me too, or some kind of, I guess, not map or encyclopedia, but yeah, I guess just a straight up timeline would work, because that was really cool to be able to like figure out where all the different events within the game happened, and then it had some extra things that kind of fed into the game. So from a lore aspect, it's a really cool way to really share that, other than just through the cutscenes.
Well, the nice thing about the timeline is there were things in the timeline that weren't really in the game. It kind of filled in gaps, and it was a lot more, you know, it just gave a lot more depth to the story.
Which I like story. I'll take more story.
If he ever reads it.
Yeah, yeah. Bring it. Just lay it out. Anyways, so I thought that was cool. Just seeing that there's going to be people in there. And I don't know how I feel about this, and maybe I'm reading into it too much, but did you see a picture of Johnson in a mech?
Yes, I did. And that made my eyebrows kind of go, huh?
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, wait a second. Johnson's dead.
I'm really hoping that was just a concept piece and somebody was trying to be funny.
Or like DLC, where it's like kind of like a funny addition in there, kind of like how they had Johnson in ODST. I mean, he was alive actually during that time frame, but you know, kind of like a...
Well, I mean, in ODST, he kind of made sense.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, he's this hard-ass Marine. In ODST, his appearance made sense. Halo Wars 2, I don't know. I mean, maybe a fun little Easter egg or something, but the man's dead. Hopefully they're not going to bring him back to life.
He got laser blasted.
I mean, they've already brought 343 back. They brought Cortana back. You know, next thing you know, Johnson's going to be showing up on our front door. I don't know.
Yeah, but Cortana, like, if you go back to the podcast, you'll hear me say that I'm not sure she's dead. So that one would, to me, didn't come as a surprise.
Well, the same here. I mean, when they did that, I'm
343 did, but Cortana didn't.
Well, when the end of the game came about, I knew she wasn't dead, but, you know, she was decompiled. She was in pieces.
Her split personalities.
I didn't know if 343 was going to put her back together or what. Again, read Fractures. It does... If you listen carefully, it does apply to Cortana a little bit and to her mental state.
Now I'm intrigued.
Definitely read Fractures.
Yeah, but I hope the Johnson thing is just a concept piece.
Yes.
All right. So that's kind of it as far as news goes this week. We don't have any community highlight topic because I'm still trying to edit through the massive podcast that was the Machinima show from last week, so that should be up soon. But we do have hopefully another episode of Achieving Halo coming out. I believe you recorded this past weekend, GT.
I attempted to.
Aww.
But unfortunately, schedules didn't mesh. So I'm going to try again this
weekend. Schedules. Why are you so difficult?
Schedules, schedules, schedules.
Dang it, schedules. Why can you never just schedule a time to be working right?
Well, part of my schedule went out the window too on Saturday. So I got recruited to help my father. So that cut into the amount of time I had available. So we'll get it done. If I can get people all together, we might just record two. So.
Ooh, fun.
So if you see the same people twice,
but don't two. Kill me,
'cause I just want to get them done.
Yeah.
So I can get them out so you guys can watch them.
Yes.
This next one ought to be interesting. I was goofing around tonight just practicing to see, because you know, before I do these recordings, I have to go through and really figure out which achievements you can put together.
And show off, yeah.
And since they've added the campaign scoring, that also brought in a bunch of new achievements that I haven't addressed yet. And this particular level seems to be a good level to do those achievements. So I'm playing around with skull combinations, things like that. Because two or three of the achievements are point related. So at least the next episode of Achieving Halo, you will see time and points on the screen.
Interesting. Changing the game mid season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's for the achievements, and since they did launch, and if anybody in the future is looking at it, then I think this would be a good level for them to go after these achievements on. There are definitely other levels that would work as well. But of course, at the time, the achievements had already weren't out yet when we were doing those levels. So I figured I'd go ahead and put them in here.
That's cool.
It also gives you more achievements to look through or look for in the videos than the two or three that the last couple have had, just because there's not that much in the way of achievements for Halo 5, unlike some of the other games where you can pick up, you know, five or six in a single, you know, run, you know, in a single playthrough of a level. That, you know, that is one thing I've noticed about Halo 5. Yes, there are a lot of achievements in it, but they're really sporadic as to where you get them and how you get them. You know, where in, like in Halo CE, you could string multiple achievements together in one level very easily. Didn't make playing the level any easier, but you were able to group things together a lot easier. Where Halo 5, it's a little tougher because, well, you know, one of the big things is like in Halo CE Anniversary, you get an achievement for finding each individual terminal and each individual skull.
Right.
And then usually each level has a level specific achievement. You know, you have to do something specific, and then you get an achievement for completing the level. You get multiple achievements for those, you know, completing it on normal, heroic, and legendary. So, you know, you get a lot of achievements to pop on one playthrough. But in Halo 5, I would say streamlined the achievements. You don't get an achievement for finding every skull. You get an achievement for finding your first skull and finding all the skulls. You know, same with the intel. You get one for finding the first piece of intel, and then you get one for finding all the intel. So, you know, some of them, the last episode for Halo 5, there's going to be a bunch of achievements that pop just because they're cumulative achievements.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but you're right.
And yes, I did cheat, and I went back and got the legendary skull just so the achievement would pop on the last level.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
It is possible. It's not the easiest thing because it's unconfirmed. So you have to complete the level without using any vehicles, without smart scope, and you have to kill a phantom. Well, they recommend you take the tank. Well, you can't get in a vehicle. So how do you kill the phantom? You save a Spartan laser.
Wait, you're talking about not the Phantom, the Phaeton.
Yeah, Phaeton. Sorry.
Okay.
All right. Phantom, Phaeton.
I thought that's what you meant. Yeah. They're close enough. They're easy to get mixed up. So, yeah.
Phaeton. But, yeah. And I found out that you could do it. It's a pain in the butt, and you have to be very careful where you use that Spartan laser. But you can do that level on foot, on legendary. Just, it's not much fun, especially by yourself.
Yeah. All right. And then one other thing I wanted to mention that isn't Halo news related, but it is something that is probably of consideration for those listening, is we got a update via email for all of those who pre-ordered the Master Chief or the Athlon speakers from AC Worldwide. They sent out an email yesterday mentioning that, or was it today? This morning? Oh, this morning. Saying that they are producing the helmets now. They're starting to do some testing and making sure that their 3D models in CAD are going to be right. So they have their engineers making sure that everything is strictly sound, that the sound is going to sound good. And they kind of just go a little bit into detail about how they're making the product, how they're ensuring that the product is top quality, different kind of material they're making it out of. But they had a huge feedback for the program. So thank you to everyone who actually went over there and got it. And to those of you who went through our link to go get the helmet, thank you guys for doing that. We had 20% off for the last week. So they started off, I think with, was they either started off with 25% or 20% and doing the custom name tag on the speakers. And then they kind of throttled it back. And then for the last week of pre-orders, they actually brought it back up to 20%. So if you guys had a chance to order it, then they'll be shipping those out in December. The first batch will be sent out then. So most people will start to get them either around Christmas time or the beginning of 2017. So that's something that is hopefully for those that have pre-ordered, something that you'll be able to cherish for a while. It's something that I think I'm personally excited for. I think having a speaker like that, like a Bluetooth speaker, which I've been kind of hoping for a while, will turn out to be something I'm really happy about. We do have a link that you can go order from if you haven't ordered it already. There's a long link to it, but I thought I put a short link on it, but I didn't. But we have it up on our social media somewhere where you can go find it. But if you go to acworldwide.cool/halo, that's where you can actually find the speaker. And they have a little snippet from the live stream that they showed off for the Anvil's Legacy live stream. So you can kind of see how big it is. I mean, it's a helmet is about the size of a normal person's head.
It's bigger than the Halo 3 helmet.
Yes, that's a good comparison. That's a little bit bigger than that. So check it out if you haven't already. There's plenty of screenshots over there. The helmet looks great. The one that they're showing off was a prototype, just a sample they've been showing around. So the finished one's going to look even better than the one that we saw on the live stream. And just having that is going to be so awesome for me personally.
Yeah, I really wished it was in the budget for me to get one, but it wasn't. Not by a long shot.
Even with 20% off?
Maybe if it was 60% off.
All right, yeah. Fine. I'll tell them to lower it again.
The old funds got drained pretty heavily this year on other stuff, so it's not been a good money year for me. So hopefully next year's a lot better.
So we also have the short link. I just found it. It's podtaggler.com/ ACWW-Halo. So if that's a little bit easier for people to remember, then... So that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Unless you have anything else to bring up, GT.
No, I'm all topicked out.
So we'll be back next week. We'll watch some footage of the Blitz for Halo Wars 2 and see how much like the Rex system the cards and Blitz are or aren't. Hopefully we'll have some more info soon on Halo Wars. I also have plans for another kind of community highlight. I haven't told you this, Laird, yet, but I'm going to reach out to you and Kevin to talk about doing some collector discussion. So that should be coming up soon, hopefully. And then get some interviews from some other creators of Halo products. I actually talked to a few at New York Comic Con, and we might be able to get a few different toy manufacturers and publication folks on to actually talk about their involvement with the Halo franchise.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Yeah, explore the world of collecting, because I don't think we've ever done that on this show. We've done plenty of shows with like Machinima, or we did the 405th one. We've had other communities on, like Griftball and Forge and all that stuff. But I don't think we've ever really focused on the show that was a collector before. Maybe once before.
Yeah, I think you've done a show about what is new coming out, things like that. But you know, nothing real in depth about, you know, the involvement of the makers with the Halo franchise or things like that. So,
or just the whole fact of collecting within the Halo universe, because there are so many different things that you can collect. And now we have a whole Twitter account geared towards Halo collectibles. Notice I said geared, because it's Halo at Halo Gear on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
So it's a whole brand new Twitter account that's dedicated towards Halo things. So I figured it's like, hey, perfect time to actually start a show about different collectibles in Halo. I mean, you have a lot of kind of old legacy collectibles, some of which don't produce Halo stuff anymore, like the McFarlane figures. Those were huge back in the day. You have Mega Bloks, and then Mattel not all, also making the Boomco stuff as well. You have all the books, you have all the consoles with controllers, you have NECA figures, Kotobukiya.
The Grunt plushie.
The Grunt plushies, Triforce, Dark Horse, a whole bunch of things. So, yeah, that should be a great show. And I am looking forward to doing that. So, expect that hopefully within the next month or so. And if you guys want us to cover any particular community or aspect of Halo, since we are kind of in that lull stage now, where we're getting very little actual news content, then we would love to hear your ideas for what you guys would like us to cover. We want to kind of get back to our roots with doing community focused content, some of those which will probably end up doing some like map reviews, doing some gameplay during the podcast as well. Kind of, that was an awesome idea. I would really like to do Tales from the Foxhole again, but I think that's kind of past a day and age where people actually will send that kind of stuff in instead of us having to just go out and fish for it.
I mean, if somebody wants to send us something like that in, feel free, and you know, we'll work it into a show or something like that. You know, because we love hearing about those stories because it tells us it's part of the Halo community. You know, people love. I haven't met anybody yet that hadn't loved to hear a good Halo story. You know, how you clutched in Breakout and, you know, last one alive and you killed the entire other team or something like that, you know, by a random grenade throw. Just, you know, if you've got a story, let us know and we'll get it out there, or yeah, send us suggestions.
Yeah, definitely.
We're always looking for new topics to talk about, and damn, I hate it when that happens. That thought just went south.
Oh no. Don't let it happen again. Come back.
But anyway.
Thought, come back.
Come back.
Come back, back, Thought, come back. Back.
But we're always looking for input, yes.
Yes, we are. Speaking of input, you can send your input and submissions to submissions@podtacular.com, or you can head on over to our website, podtacular.com, and click on the big green Submit Your Stuffs button, and that way we get an email that notifies us, and we can speak about whatever you want us to speak about on the show. We have a few different kind of formats that we've done in the past, one of which could be just kind of a general Halo question about some of the content that's out there, or talking about some kind of cool tale or story from Halo, talking about a cool map or game mode that you've made, and the list kind of goes on and on. As long as it's Halo related, we would love to talk about it. So you can send that over there via either the contact form or through email. You can check out some of the other podcasts that we are associated with over on the podcast network. You can head over to thepodka.st or go over to podka.st, and you can find other gaming shows such as ChrisCast, Work in Progress, The Learning Cliff, Guardian Radio, and How to Murder Time. Guardian Radio, of course, is the Destiny podcast, ChrisCast, the Team Fortress 2 podcast, and The Learning Cliff, the EVE Online podcast. Also, make sure you check us out on our social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, all that fun stuff. If we have an account on the platform, poddagger.com/whatever should get you there. We have quite a few things to give away as well. I got some posters from PAX from Unishek a little while ago that I just unboxed, some of which got dented in the shipping process, which I'm kind of sad about. But there are some other posters that we have, some pretty cool ones, actually, that we want to give away. So look for some giveaways here in the coming weeks, and then also look for some massive giveaways during Thanksgiving and Christmas, since those will be coming around the corner pretty soon as well.
Yay, free stuff!
Yes, lots of free stuff. I still have to figure out when I'm getting pins for being a year subscriber to our Twitch channel. Still thinking of what I want to do for that pin, so I haven't forgotten. I'm just trying to figure out what the perfect gift is going to be for you, or at least some good options to put your way. So, but that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Thanks everyone for tuning into the show. We will try not to be 3 weeks out from the next one. Hopefully work will not take me captive for too long on next Tuesday. Hopefully. We'll see.
Well, you might want to expand on that.
Hopefully I won't be working extra hours next Tuesday. Okay. So yeah, that's going to be it for the night. Thanks again, everybody. And we will see you guys next week. Keep on fragging strategy games, because I suck at them.
And don't forget to hunt for junk.